I want to show next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock is our recovery service. Needed to preach, and I know it's a holiday weekend, and I've got 15 minutes. So I don't know if I can even read my verse in 15 minutes. But I really feel like this is something that I ought to preach today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Boy, that's descriptive. If he can feel it deep within himself. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's not saying don't take care of yourself and your details of your life, but also that it's our job to carry the needs of others, that we should be engaged. I want to pause for a moment, not what I'm preaching, but I want to pause for a moment. There is absolutely a culture of Christ. There is absolutely a culture that Christ calls the church to fulfill. Amen. It is his purpose and our adopted purpose, amen, that we fulfill the culture of Christ. And that is the culture of caring for others, that being engaged with others, serving others, loving others, giving mercy and grace and peace to others, praying for others, that we are engaged in the great work of the Holy Spirit, that we are engaged in the great work of the Holy Spirit, that we are engaged in the great work of the, that is the culture of Christ. And the culture of Christ supersedes my southern culture. It supersedes the cold, dark north culture. The cold, dark north of you do it your way and I'll do it my way and I'm this way and you're that way and we'll just all do it our own way and be our own people because you don't know how I was raised. You don't know what happened in my life. And so I'm shut down or closed up or not engaged, not involved. Amen. God has called you out of the culture of your color, out of the culture of your finance. God has called you out of the culture of your background, your dysfunctional family, amen, to adopt and enjoy and live in the culture of Christ. That we thrive in the culture of Christ. That it is our purpose, amen, if you've come to God and God's done a work in your life, then God's purpose is that he would be fully made in you, that you would be an ambassador for Christ. And there are no exceptions. The Bible does not say you're an ambassador for Christ, the top 20% of the church. Are the ones who look good, are only the ones that smell good, are the only the ones that are popular, are the only ones that are wealthy, are the only ones that, let me just be real frank, are the only ones that have it all together. Hey man, you don't even have to have it all together. You don't have to be perfect. Amen. You don't even have to be really good sometimes to have the culture of Christ. Amen. Because you don't have the culture of Christ because you're good or because you're intelligent or gifted or able or popular or known. Amen. You can have the culture of Christ wherever you're at, whoever you are. You can find somebody else worse off than you that needs you to love them, that needs you to serve them, that needs you to be engaged in their life. Amen. Everybody in the room ought to reach down to lift somebody up. Teenagers, you ought to reach down, lift somebody up. Young married couples, amen. I know sometimes money is tight when you're young and you've got kids and you think, oh my, they're running around, they're tearing the wallpaper off the walls, swinging from the ceilings, and I'm just overwhelmed by all that I've got to do. Got to clean the house, got to wash the clothes, got to do this and that and the other. Amen. But the same thing with elders. Well, I'm old and nobody really needs me. Nobody wants to listen to me or whatever we say to ourselves. And I'm telling you, we can come up with the dumbest lies. We can engage ourselves with the dumbest lies and paralyze ourselves with the dumbest lies that we should not be engaged, we should not be involved, that we should not serve. Amen. But he is calling us here in Philippians to be engaged, to be involved, to be in the culture of Jesus Christ. Amen. To reach out. I love the Lord. Amen. And then you look what this says. This is the point I'm getting to. That wasn't even the point. Look not every man after his own things, but every man after others. Now here's the point. Let this mind be in you. That was in Christ Jesus. Let the same mind be in you. That was in Christ Jesus. Now that's some would say a bridge too far. That I would have the mind of Christ, that I would act in the nature of Christ. That, amen. But he has redeemed us. He has restored us. He has picked us up out of the miry clay, put our feet on a rock to stay. Amen. As the old song goes, he has lifted us. He has washed our hearts. He has washed our minds. The Bible says he creates a new mind within us, that we have a new thought process when you come to Christ. Anybody get up out of an altar one day and say, you know what? I don't think like I used to think. I don't go where I used to go. I feel like I've got a brand new mind. I feel like I've got a brand new purpose in life. Amen. Because God called us to that. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who be in the form of God. Now, this is my point. This is what I'm preaching today. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. In being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. I'd like to preach for just a few minutes. He emptied himself. Would you pray with me that the Lord would help us right now? God, we thank you for your great grace and your abundant, overwhelming mercy. I pray, God, that your spirit and anointing would touch in this place. God, that your hand would move, I pray. Amen. Open our hearts, speak into our lives. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for that. Everybody said amen. Amen. The principle I believe that this scripture reveals is that he emptied himself. There's a Greek word that's used about four times in the New Testament. And it's used here in this verse. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death. He made himself, verse 7, of no reputation. That no reputation means, literally, he stripped himself. I want you to think for a moment, as I have just a few more minutes to preach. He stripped himself. What did he strip himself of? Well, he was God. New Testament teaches us Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. But he stripped himself and he came down and he robed himself in flesh. So what did he strip himself of? Well, first of all, he stripped himself of all power and authority as God. He stripped off the idea that the angels were watching over him. If you look in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah says the angels would surround him and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, the one that was and is to come." And they did that constantly, 24 hours a day. Amen. Can you imagine the, let me say it in human terms, the ego boost that you would have if people just surrounded you and said, "You're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. You're awesome, you're amazing, you're amazing." I try to get my wife to say that just once, and I'm not sure I'll ever get it done. But I keep influencing her, trying to influence her. Just say it one time. "You're awesome, you're amazing, you're wonderful." I asked her the other day, "Hey, would you rub my feet?" And she said, "I don't do feet." But can you imagine the principle, the angels surrounding the Lord, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, the one that was and is to come, the Almighty." Amen. The Alpha and the Omega, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. They just constantly gave him his deserved praise. But when he stepped out of heaven, amen, and stepped down, he got a little diaper and laid himself in torn cloths and laid it in a manger with the stuff of a manger, the bugs, the dirt, the calf slobber, whatever is in the manger. And they may have put fresh hay in the manger to lay him, but it was a normal place to feed animals. Can you imagine that God would be willing to take off the glory of angels surrounding him, crying, "Glory, holy, holy, holy," amen, to put himself in the position of a poor, impoverished child? He literally stripped himself of his glory. He stripped himself of his grandeur. He stripped himself of his throne. He stripped himself of everything. You think it's something when God asks you to let go of something, when God asks you to let loose of something, when God says, "Would you trust me?" Amen. But I'm telling you, you serve a God that was willing to strip himself of all grandeur of heaven, all the streets of gold, gates of pearl, amen, everything that represents heaven, all the glory, sinless, no sin in heaven. It was a perfect place that God had created with perfect angels that were surrounding him. And yet he stepped down to this. He emptied himself of all the external. And then he was put into a position without expectation. Nobody expected much. His mom might have. But nobody else really had great expectations. Sure, a wise man came from afar and they gave him funds so he could flee to Egypt. But that's only because the king was trying to kill him. And it may have been used up in the time of Egypt. I doubt he had a large dowry after he got back out of Egypt. Amen. And had to travel back and set up a home. And his father goes back to carpentry. They weren't building mansions. They didn't go 90210 and build a home on the beach. They weren't wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. So it's likely they used up all the funds that they had gained from those wealthy men that delivered them at the door and escaped. He had to run for his life because a carnal king was trying to kill him. Too young to know what was going on in his human mind, but in his God mind, he knew exactly where he was, exactly where he was going. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him, but he was willing to strip off of all of that he had in order to come here. There's a principle in Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a principle of repent. What's the principle of repent? The idea of repentance is you strip yourself of everything that's going on in your life that doesn't look like God. If you put it in a certain concept, you're changing armor. You're taking off the armor of the world or the armor of self. You're taking off what's important to you, what's valuable to you. You're taking the armor off of what your family is, of what your dad thinks of you or your mom thinks of you. You're taking off the history of your family. Amen. It doesn't matter if everybody in your family was alcoholic. You don't have to be alcoholic anymore. Amen. If everybody in your family was a drug addict, you can break the cycle. Amen. God can break the cycle in your life, and you can be a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. God can make you a new creature in Christ. And that's his point, that he was willing to strip off all that stuff that made him God. And he retained the role of God. It's all right. Somebody fell over in the balcony. They're okay. There are people up there. They're fine. They don't need any help. They're fine. It's all right. Are y'all okay now? They said that he fell over. It's okay. I'm not sure I got everybody's attention back yet. I think I'm going to fall down and see how well y'all focus up here. Man, it is a hard act to follow. Somebody falls down in church and that's it. Now I have 1 minute. They said he's okay, dear. I guess stand. I only have a minute. I don't have time. Stand. I was talking about kenosis, and I was going to get to the point where, in order to be full, in order to be full, you've got to empty. In order for Christ to save the world, he had to empty himself. Amen. And robe himself in flesh. And in order for you to be saved, you got to make room for God. You've got to repent. You've got to ask God. God, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. God, do whatever it is you want to do inside of me. Because, God, I want to change to be like you. And I can't stay like me and be like you. The Bible says we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And that our nature of our humanity is just so intertwined into our sin nature that we have to have a new nature. And it's not the nature of Mark Johnson. It's not the nature of Clyde Jones or Susan Smith or Fran. Amen. It's got to be the nature of Jesus Christ. And we can't do that on our own. Amen. Because we have our human lid that we jump against. Amen. And my humanity will only let me get so far. I can only be so good. Amen. Paul said, oh, the good that I would do. But evil was present with me. Amen. And you jump against the lid of your humanity.
Amen. But what I'm preaching today is Jesus Christ lifts our lid. Amen. And through Christ. Through Christ. Sometimes we go through stuff. Talked about a little earlier in the service. Sometimes we go through stuff. Challenges and difficulties and heartaches and trials and agonies. Amen. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff provide comfort and strength to me. Amen. And I don't know who needed it today, but if you would just bow your head just briefly. Amen. God is comfort and strength. God is a leader through the valley of the shadow of death. What you may be in is not what you are. The pain that you feel from some sickness or disease doesn't have to define you. Physical weakness, emotional weakness, mental weakness. Amen. A trouble, external, an internal. Amen. A spiritual attack. I'm telling you, if God's with you, you have nothing to be afraid of. Amen. We sang all service long about being in His presence. What a beautiful spirit we had here a little while ago. Spirit of the Lord moving among us. But sometimes we're afraid to step into His presence because of what He might ask us to remove. We think, I can't remove that. But I'm telling you, the God of gods and King of kings removed so much, laid aside so much of His identity so He could come and identify with you to be like you, so He could lead you to let go of and become like Him. He emptied Himself to be like us, so He could fill us, so we could be like Him. Don't ever be content with your weakness. Don't ever be comfortable with your trial. Don't ever be at peace with the devil. Don't ever be at peace with sin. Don't ever lean back into it and say, well, I guess just this is the way life is going to be. Because today I believe He calls us still out of our darkness and into His marvelous, marvelous light. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost again. Amen. I don't know who needed to hear this. I asked a moment ago, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you do that? Amen. But I'm telling you, I believe the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody's. I believe God's calling us up. Come on, is there something that God's calling you to let go of? Saying about being in His presence, but being in His presence is really divesting ourselves of ourselves. Amen. So we can be with Him in the name of the Lord. Amen. I want to open up the altar. I know we've had a great prayer, and I know it's a holiday weekend. If you've got to go, we certainly understand. But I feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. Is there something God's calling you to lay aside? Is there something God's calling you to empty yourself up, an attitude, a thought process, amen, that's keeping you from being, amen, like Him? You thought you had to hold on to it, or you thought that it had a hold of you. Amen. And I'm here to tell you today, it does not have to hold you, and you do not have to hold on to it. Amen. You can be released in the name of the Lord. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord remains in this place. Amen. In the name of the Lord. I invite you to come. If saints of God, if you want, step out and join us for a few minutes. Again, I know it's a holiday weekend, and you can go whenever you need to go. But the word that came from the Lord, we need to dwell in His presence. Could we just do that for a little while? Amen. Continue to let the Holy Ghost move in and through us. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 What an awesome God we serve.
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me my cup, Lord, I live.